Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Well, hello and welcome. My name is Morgana, and here's my husband, Devin.
Yes, and I'm sitting here as well.
Yes, and combined between the two of us, I think we've been relationship coaches for close to 40 years.
For a long time. And so we like talking about love.
Yes, we do. Especially, I think, since love has become a very happy topic in our household. Both of us, 45-year stretches of perfect score of romantic failure, and then we grew up and met each other.
Indeed. It wasn't always terrible. Have to say that. There was fun, but I think we've gotten to a stage where I think we've cracked the code.
And we're still celebrating this month 8 years since our first date.
That is a thing. Yeah, love is still floating in the air, along with illness. complexities and life.
And creaky muscles and all sorts of nonsense.
Right. That's not the crazy sexy part.
No.
The creaky muscles. But it is a thing that happens over 50.
It does. So over the last few weeks, we've been having some great guests, experts on a variety of topics, weaving that into relationship. And they've been giving some great advice. Like last week with Alex Mandosian, he had those three questions to ask when you're in a conflict in a relationship so that you can recover and reconcile quickly. And I think the first question is, what happened? Second question was, well, what should have happened? And you just let the person say, blah, 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 blah. Anything else? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. And final question. Devin, you may remember it.
I wrote it down. It's actually sitting in front of me.
You wanted to, what was the
last
question?
Yeah, the third one was, how can we make it right?
Oh, I love that. How
right.
can
I'm
we
I'm
going to
make an
right?
amendment, though.
Yes.
Okay. And I appreciate Alex, and I love him, and I think he was great. And when you put what the person is telling you as blah, 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 it sort of implies to me that you're not really listening or that you might not be listening. But I think the larger issue is it doesn't really matter what they're saying. The hope is that you find a resolution to the issue.
Well, and I don't think there can be a resolution when somebody does not feel heard. So that's a good point.
Yeah. So, but I think he was explaining it just for sort of like, hey, fill in the blank. And it could be anything. I think the important thing is sort of like hearing. It's not about sort of like the Band-Aid. I think, just to talk it out. I mean, we have some more. We have some other things to be discussing. And I think this is fantastic advice. And I totally agree with it. But I do think like you can receive something and sort of put on an air about it. Or you can be genuinely connected to it, right? And so I think there's just an important distinction. I say this all the time to students, and I may have even said it already here, but I'm going to tell this quick story, is that when my daughter, my lovely daughter, who's now at the University of Michigan doing fantastic, when she was a little toddler sitting in the in the shopping cart at the supermarket, and we'd wheel up and down the aisles, she knew when we got to the cookies, and she would go bananas as soon as she saw the package that had the white and pink, I don't know what it is, sugar-covered cookies, like the animal cracker kind of things.
Well, who wouldn't go crazy for that?
Because they're fantastic.
They are.
They're without question. They're incredible cookies. I don't even know what they're called, but they're amazing. And so she would go crazy for these cookies. So she'd be screaming and yelling. Now, I, as the parent, as the adult, knew that
The
I,
adult in air quotes.
right, totally air quotes, I knew that she would be on sugar and hopped up and crazed, and I couldn't get her to sleep, and it would be a problem. And she would yell and scream so much that I would give her the cookies under the guise of, I'm doing this because I love you. Now, I could say that, I could even sort of think it, but really, the contract I had with her, which was really a negotiation, was if you get these cookies, you're going to shut up. That's really, in other words, I can do things that were really about love. And usually the love part is going to be the part for me. Like if I'm extending love, I have to be mindful of what it is, what's my motivation behind it.
Well, this makes me think of one of the principles of neuro-linguistic programming. The person who has the most behavioral flexibility wins. And a toddler, by her very essence, is all behavioral flexibility and will be willing to lie down in the aisle and scream and kick and do whatever it takes to get what she wants. And it's really hard to compete with that.
Right, it is hard. It's actually it's sort of like a high stakes poker kind of thing, right? Who's going to blink first? Who's going to crack? And so I guess the distinction I wanted to make is that you can take this list from Alex from last week, which is what happened, what should have happened, and how can I make it right?
How can we make it right?
How can we make it
Which is
right? It's
actually
that
really a powerful
I
shift.
think it's important. I agree with you, but my point is that one person is going to be saying it, right? One person has to propose these three questions.
Or you
And
can take turns.
that takes already a previous agreement, which
Okay.
may or may not happen,
Yeah.
right? It kind of implies that both people in the middle of an argument are sort of simultaneously saying, oh, okay, we're both better now to
So,
answer these
no,
questions.
so the person who makes the choice that I want us to reconcile, the person who is maybe less triggered in the moment, but somebody has to come up for air. And the person who comes up for air and goes, this relationship matters to me, that's the person who asks the question.
Right, but that you just said the crucial piece, which is that person needs to be conscious of, oh, this relationship matters to me, so I'm now I'm going to use this tool rather than I'm solely going to memorize the tool and I just want this thing to stop.
No, that never works.
Right, and so that's my point. This is, in other words, if I memorize the tool without understanding what the goal is, then it's just screaming in the aisle waiting for my sugar cookies.
Yeah, manipulation, not a good long-term
Right.
plan.
But you can still ask three questions with two separate motivations.
Yeah, no, I
So
agree with you on that.
we're going to talk a little bit about motivation. Is that actually we weren't. I wasn't even planning on talking about this.
No, but
But I had my notes sitting here.
it goes where it goes. Now, no, actually, I was thinking that since we've been getting such great advice, we should do an episode on bad advice.
Bad advice. Nobody
Bad
does that.
advice. So, you listener, I want you to dig back as far or not far as you need to dredge up. What was the worst relationship advice you ever received? We want to hear it. And our phone number is 888-627-6008. Again, the number is 888-627-6008.
And by the way, I made a list. I know that we're going to talk about at least one of the things, or the like. I gave you one
Yeah.
because
It was a good one,
we were
too.
sitting down, sort of on the couch, and it's like, okay, what are we discussing? And this subject came up about bad advice. So I gave you like a winner,
Yeah.
but then after you left, I thought, oh, but there's more winners. There's so
Okay.
many winners that I think it deserves a whole bunch of like a whole special category of show to discuss all the terrible, really worthless advice that we get. And hopefully by the time we're sort of like in the crazy section or crazy sexy portion of life, that there would be all this, you know, we would just be immune to it. But I don't think that's the case. I think we take some of these bad ideas with us along for the ride forever.
Well, and I'm curious to, because I don't know your list, but I have a hunch that some of the really, truly terrible advice given to men is different than the truly terrible advice given to women. And it will be, and some might be the same. So
did you make your own list?
No.
Okay. All right, so I guess that's going to be a requirement for somebody to call in at
888-627-6008.
Thank you.
Let's start with yours.
Well, what was the one that I had told you? Let's start there.
Oh, that was a big one.
Was it a big one?
Yeah, yeah. And I think it explains a lot. It had something to do with women want to be abused.
Yes. Yeah, no, that was a big one. So it was about, I mean, it's sort of like it's a whole bunch of bad advice sort of solidified in one really horrendous bit of advice. And the idea would be, and I don't know, I don't remember exactly how I phrased it. And so I don't know if it's abuse per se. In other words, we're certainly not, you know, even under the worst case scenario, nobody's recommending that. But I think it was more like women like bad boys, that is somehow a sexy thing, and that women will like that. So if you're a bad boy, then that's a big thumbs up, that women will be crawling, waiting. You have to knock them off with a stick, because if you're a bad boy, if you're a bad guy doing bad things, we don't
making
know what those
us
things
feel
are.
Bad.
Make yeah, all of it. All
oh,
of that stuff.
Such bad advice.
Yeah, it's terrible advice.
I remember years ago I was coaching, I was mentor coaching a relationship coach. Seriously, 10, I think it was exactly 10 years ago. And she found something on the web, some advice column for, you know, from one of those game player guys teaching men how to date. And he was giving the advice that if you want a woman to become addicted to you and want to stay with you, you have to treat her like garbage. And this authority figure is actually teaching men that women want to be treated like garbage. And she and I took one look at that and we're like, huh? And shrugged our shoulders. Like, somebody treats us badly, we leave. That's not a way to keep a woman around. It's certainly not the way to keep a woman around that you would actually want to have a relationship with.
Right. And I think that's what we are talking about. I think we're talking about, do we want a relationship? But this, by the way, kind of dovetails a little bit on what we were talking about last week in sort of the romantic comedy advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In other words, there's an outrageous gesture to do. And, you know, it's the guy standing, you know, underneath the balcony playing a 1980s power ballad.
Yeah.
Right.
Still waiting.
And so she's swooning. Right. I'm not doing it because I wouldn't even know where to buy a boomed box in 2020.
Yeah.
But so it's that idea that if we
you'd
do
have
something,
to hold up your iPhone.
Right. If we do something outrageous and meaningful, she'll have no choice but to collapse under your depth, right? The weight of your incredible love. And I think that, don't get me wrong, I think that could be cute, but...
Well, the boombox wasn't... it's not as scary as the guy who breaks into your house and jumps out of your closet.
Right, that's not a good one. And that's, but we've seen sort of knuckleheaded ideas that come out of that romantic comedy thing, sort of like that over the top gesture should like, well, but it's over the top, ergo, it must be by its very act should be a really meaningful thing.
To him, not to her. Like if that happened,
right, no,
I would,
totally, yeah, right. No, yeah. I'm in agreement. So okay. That's what I'm saying is men don't know that that comes across as sort of
scary.
Like a weird, creepy, bleeding into scary thing.
Yeah.
versus, but we don't know. So what ends up happening is we get bad advice from other men, assuming that that other guy over there, probably he figured it out, right? And a lot of this was just like, I want to say locker room talk, but that's not even true. It's sort of like, oh, we saw it in a movie, so we want to light a cigarette like Humphrey Bogart, or we want to, you know, put goop in our hair like John Travolta in Grease, you know. And you know, the funny thing was, is when he, what you just brought up, is that in Grease, he brought up that idea of like, oh, well, I'll treat her badly now. I'm going to shun her. And then, of course, he was.
That didn't work.
That totally didn't work. Well, no, he was, I think, in love. Always.
Yeah. So let's see. Bad advice I've received. And somebody wrote a whole really terrible book based on this bad advice, which is to settle, to give everybody a chance, is the worst advice you could give me.
To settle is bad advice?
Yeah.
What's the bad advice?
Don't settle for what you don't want. If you're going to choose one person for your whole life, choose someone who makes you feel like the luckiest human being on the planet to be with such an awesome person. If you don't feel that way about your partner, if you feel like you're doing your partner a favor and this wasn't really what you wanted, but it was the best you could do, that isn't good for you or your partner. That's insulting to your partner. It's depressing to you. It's not love. I think, you know, there are the really important things and the negotiable things. And as we grow up, we start to figure out what exactly those are. I have a friend who says, look for character, not characteristics. So I did that naturally. So not marrying a billionaire is not settling for me because it's A, not something I really care about. I care about who the human being is. But the notion, if you feel like you're settling, that first is telling the woman that that there's something not good enough about her to actually have a relationship that she wants to have. And she, it's so like me, just, you know, like Oliver and the Gruel, you know, you're going to take this and be grateful for it. That whole notion of settling and blaming women for the God awful horror of being single at 40 years old and life is over for you and you're never going to find love because you didn't settle for that guy that you felt lukewarm about when you were 36. And some lady, I remember decades ago, wrote a book pretty much about all that, blaming women, casting this singlehood as this horrible lifelong sentence because their standards were too high. And I think that that is ridiculous. If you are going to choose one person and say no to all others for the rest of your life, that person should be really, really great. You know, does not feel like settling, feels like you won the lottery. And you want your person to feel like he is the lottery. I mean, that's how I feel about Devin. So yeah, the whole, you know, don't have too high standards and settle. That's really bad advice. I can see where I've known women who are like, well, I only want to, you know, date a guy who makes multi-millions of dollars and has a yacht and washboard abs, but he's also really spiritual and has all the time in the world for me. Good luck. That, to me, that's not really going into what matters most. That's just somebody who has to grow up a little and get a little deeper.
Well, so I think the problem is the word settle.
Okay.
And the idea of what the connotation of what settling is,
mm-hmm.
right? I think there's two things. We can have some sort of imaginary idea, a mythical idea of like the princess or the prince charming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And great, you should have that fantasy. Is it settling when we go, that person may not exist because the notion of the happy ever after?
Well, and that example that I gave, billionaire with the yacht and the abs and spiritual and all the time in the world, that person is such a caricature of a person, like something you would see in a movie or a celebrity or something. And in fact, holding up for that is, I believe, a strategy for staying single. Not because I'm telling anybody to settle for less, but because you are creating something that is so so exaggerated.
Well,
and
it,
unlikely
it, again,
that it's a way to protect yourself from a real person, because any person is going to be complex and there are going to be differences and there are going to be conflicts because it's supposed to be that way.
So, like I said, I think I go back to this idea of what is settling. And I think a lot of people carry this sort of idea in their brain of what they're supposed to have.
Yes.
And what you're supposed to get out of a relationship. And if it is somebody who only adores, loves, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if it's the prince charming, princess charming sort of notion, then we're really not talking about settling. We're talking about an unrealistic expectation of any other person. But if you are, let's say, a woman who is looking for a marriage, then you start thinking about, well, is this the guy who will be a good dad? Right? That's frequently, interestingly, when I talk to women, stuff like that is never on their list.
Hmm.
Like, good dad, you know, drive me to the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning if there's a problem. If there's, you know, those sorts of nonsenses, and I don't mean to belittle it, but I'm saying like those kinds of things that we tend to not think about, those are the things that we really, really want. We want the stuff where it's like when the chips are down, you know, the washboard abs are great, right? Big thumbs up. Good luck with that. And that's true for a handful of people who are in their 20s. I don't know if you're going to find a whole lot of washboard abs from anybody in their, you know, like post 50 set. Do you know what I mean? So if you're still looking for that, it's not about settling. I think it's really much more about is what do you want from the relationship? And you can put down washboard abs, put that on your magical list. However, the more stuff that is unrealistic, you know what I mean? Like, could you find somebody who would be a great dad? Totally. Could you find a person who'd be a great grandfather? Totally. Can you find a guy who would be, you know, honest and hold your hand when the chips are down? Yeah, no, totally. All
and
those things are very doable. Like, I don't think you settle on those things. I think there's a whole, like, sort of like the looks department.
Well, here's my take on that is, don't settle on being attracted to the person because, and it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I think you have to. Well, because it's part of the glue.
Exactly, exactly. So there's more than just the look that's in the attraction. There's also just the feeling of the person, the who of the person, the fun to be with him, and the pheromones of the person. And then we all have our, you know, our preferences. But that's, I think, something that men and women should not settle on is you need to be attracted to the person and you don't have to. In fact, I think it would be really dangerous to the relationship to settle there.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. I mean, listen, you know, One of the tools that I give women, that's part of the ebook that you can get from me anytime.
At where?
Oh, at devongalladay.com. You can totally do that. And it's /coaching.
Or at crazysexymidlifelove.com. Oh,
is it crazysexymidlifelove.com?
It's easier to spell.
Oh, good. Let's do that instead. So you can totally do that part of it. And it's mostly about, okay, I make a list of all the things that I really want. And you put down the washboard abs or the Brad Pitt hair or whatever, right? You put down that list, all of the things, and you get to be as shallow as you need to be. Like he can't be shorter than 6'4". Right, fine. Put it down. All of it. Like, make sure that like you're hearing yourself. These are the things that float my boat. But then you have a separate column, a second column, which is sort of the deal breaker stuff, right? Okay, somebody who smokes 7 packs of cigarettes a day is probably not for me. Somebody who is an active prostitute who's on crack, right? That's probably not good. I mean, maybe it's fantastic for somebody, but I think for your average person, that's probably not a great selling point. And so you have these ideas that, like, no matter what, like if they're particularly religious or they're not religious enough, you put down those things that are the deal breakers. And then you kind of let those two lists percolate. Make sure that you're thorough. Like, even if you think, oh, I'm being silly, just write it down anyway. Just do it, because you want to make sure all these things are considered, because if you don't, you'll go back to them later and all of a sudden you'll kind of throw your own list and thought process aside. Say, oh, well, I didn't do it. And then it becomes, you know, one of those things that you completely ignore. Then you kind of go through a list of, first you go through the first two lists and really define what it is that you need in order to thrive. And that's where you start getting into the stuff like, oh, right, is nice to my mother, right? Even if my mother's, a nut burger, we're going to be nice to this, you know what I mean, to the in-law. We're going to do those kinds of things. And so we're going to be conscious in our list making, like, oh, yeah, no, that is what I want.
Well, and by the way, that's the purpose of all of our failed relationships, is they taught us the stuff that we didn't think we needed to be aware of.
Right. And it's much more subliminal. Do you know what I mean? If you do it purely on your own without any consciousness, it may take years. It may cheat, but hopefully at this stage of the game, we could just jump to the answers where we start getting clarity on. So it's not just the washboard abs. Now, maybe that, you know, maybe somebody's attached to the washboard abs that has it all going on, and that's fantastic. But
that tends to be younger people.
It does tend to be younger people, but I think it's a good analogy where, you know, we can start moving away from, like, because we want the crazy sexy part. That's the part we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to give us, like, I know that when they've tested women, and I wish I could come up with sort of like the statistics on this, but some of the things that women like rank way, way high on their lists of wants are things like sense of humor. Everybody wants a sense of humor, but part of the reason why we want sense of humor is because, oh, this means somebody's going to be like able to kind of roll with the punches, right? A little bit. We want the sense of humor because it's a little bit easier.
Well, as the woman in this conversation,
right.
A sense of humor to me is important because it's really, really sexy. There's something incredibly intimate about having enough of a shared view of the world that we find the same things funny. There's a way in which humor is even more personal than sex.
Right. Well, that's language and it's culture.
It's a meeting of the soul in the way.
Yeah, no, it's language and it's culture, and all those things are really important. But I think it also speaks to this idea where it's like, okay, we can take this thing easy,
mm-hmm.
right? Where it's not all that complicated.
Well, the relationship can have some fun and lightness.
Right. And I think that's sort of like critical stuff.
So what else is on your list?
Are we already ready to jump to that next part?
I'm dying to know.
Okay.
I haven't seen the list.
No, you haven't. Okay. So bad advice is be elusive.
Ugh.
Don't, just do you need a little tissue for all your tears, honey? Be Elusive falls into that category of I'm going to wait 3 days to, write or call her back. It's sort of like I think a bunch of kind of what is it? Just like a bunch of
It's
rules
such a
that.
power game.
Well, but that's clearly what that's about. In other words, if I'm unavailable, then the other person knows that I must be popular or busy or
Or
important,
she's not
or
important.
she's not important, right? And I think that's kind of the thing.
Sadistic.
Well, I don't know if it's the,
Well, I've.
I think that's what people tell each other to do,
Well, and by the
because you don't want to
way,
be seeming too
you don't
interested.
want to seem desperate. And by the way, that kind of crap worked on me when I was in my 20s. By the time you came around, I was at the point where if he doesn't call me the next day, he's not interested in enough next.
Right.
That's the joy of being a grown
The grown-up thing.
up.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. So I don't think if we to go with sort of like all of those kinds of things that sort of make us appear to be scarce, because I think really what we want is to be available. I think we want the other person to know if we like them. I mean, but again, the joy of that crazy sexy part is I think you're allowed. I remember going on dates in my 20s where I would just like, I'm going to tough it out
What
because
does
it's
that mean?
that means it's the date's clearly not going well and it's not fun and nobody's having fun, but it's sort of like, well, no, we're just going to stick it out. Like, so it somehow ends in an organic way. And then both people can say, well, I'll call you. And then nobody's calling anybody.
I never knew guys did that too.
Oh
I
yeah.
thought that it was just me or
Well,
the
I think you're
women.
hoping to just merely be polite. And
And that leads directly to another piece of bad advice that I've gotten, which is give him a chance. Like even if the first date sucks, well, be open to seeing him again. Even if you don't like his profiler, give everybody a chance. Give them a second chance. And talk about sucking your life force out of you. No, I think you know what you know and just trust yourself.
yeah, I mean, I think that has to be part of it. I think that has to be part of it. And I think sort of like the elusive piece is tricky. And so is the part where it's like we're going to be too polite just to kind of like, I'm going to prove a point. We'll just hang around and we'll keep hanging around. I think it's good to just sort of like,
And
okay.
then it's also confusing if let's say I like you, but you're just being polite, then it just hurts me more because I'm like living in a different fantasy world than you are.
Yeah, no, I remember going out on a date where I got the advice of you keep dating her until you come up with a really great reason not to. So that's like an annex to what you were just saying. And I did. She was
That
she
poor girl.
well, she was a nice girl, but there was like for me there was zero going on. There was no chemistry. So not only did I tough out that date, I called up this friend and said, I didn't like her. She's just not my cup of tea. And the response I got was, well, but that's not a great reason. What if she grows on you? Or what if she evolves into some other, something? All of a sudden, maybe
That
there's
doesn't
some
happen
moment.
except in movies.
Right, well, that's the romantic comedy thing. If I keep
Yeah.
pursuing this person, they'll crack and they'll see my inner beauty because
Because I stalked them.
I hid in her closet, and then she'll love me.
Oh.
So I ended up going on this.
And so this very nice girl could have been dating somebody who really dug her, but instead she thought you liked her. Bravo, Devin.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. And I knew that too. I knew it was very clear after date one, and I even said at the end of date one, "I'm sorry, I don't kiss on the first date."
Which is so not true.
Which is so not true. And it was terrible. And then I took her out on a second date where I said at the end of the second date, I stuck out my hand and she was literally like puckered up and ready to go under the lamp or under the glow of her doorway. And then date number three was just like, you know, I was horrible. And I think she was like, come in, have a drink, hang around. And
take
I
off
was
my
just,
clothes.
I was pretty sure. I was pretty sure that was all on the table. And she was. She seemed actually like a really lovely woman. Just for me, there just wasn't any kind of like any. And it was almost interesting because there was a point where we were talking where I was thinking to myself, well, surely she has to see that we're not really vibing and we have nothing in common.
No, she didn't.
No, she had no, there was no clue.
No, all of her like oxytocin generators were flooding her bloodstream.
And it's sort of a drag. And then I called up this friend and I said, well, okay, so we've gone on three dates and I don't want to sleep with her just to prove this point. And it seems just like a drag. It's just no good. That's all. I mean, it's sad and heartbreaking, and I'm sure she's probably found, you know,
the
right
person.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's the case. I mean, you never know what the world brings any of us.
I like the notion that there's a lid for every pot, that the things that make you repulsive and a bad match for one person makes you a more attractive and a better match for somebody else.
Right.
A year before you, I was dating someone. No, don't be too shocked, because I was 45 and had dated. And he hated travel. He just, his belief was every time he travels, something goes wrong, which is true.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
For him, that was a reason to not travel. So me wanting to travel the world with the love of my life was a turnoff for that relationship.
Right.
It wasn't going to go anywhere. But then this guy on OkCupid, going by the handle travel guy, starts sending me emails.
Right.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Travel guy.
True. And we're going nowhere, which is a drag because part of the show is to talk about travel.
Oh, my God. And the prices to go to Argentina now.
Oh,
so
I just
tempting.
Want to gamble. Let's
so
just
tempting.
Go to Argentina and risk it. That's my theory.
Well, Delta seems to be safe.
Which one?
Delta Airlines.
All right, well, then let's see what Delta's doing, because I want to go somewhere. It's been a long time.
This is, I think, the longest you've ever gone in your adult life without going on a
trip.
It's
a long time, yeah. I mean, I started really traveling when I was about 25, and I think if I didn't run out of money on that very first trip, I would just be somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
I would still just be bouncing around somewhere.
And I'd still be going on bad dates.
Maybe.
No, actually, maybe I was so. Going on good dates by the time I met you.
Right.
You were just the best one.
Right. Well, that's true, too. So, yeah, I don't even know what to do. Although I received a letter from Mexico. For those who don't know, I'm also the editor-in-chief of the No Traveler. And I hear from tourism boards and tour operators on a regular basis of what's going on. Obviously, as you might imagine, all of the press releases that are coming in are sort of like, A, the precautionary things that each company in each country is doing. And a lot of it is updates on when we can travel again. And so Mexico's holding off for the time being, but I did hear from their the folks that are representing them now, specifically the folks at San Miguel, which has a particular personal interest for Morgana and myself. And so it's not quite there yet, but everybody's working on it. Hopefully I'll have a really updated thing, and maybe I'll even read their response on the air and talk
well,
about that.
There aren't really many countries that will take American passports right now.
Right. Well, that is true, but I mean, again, you know, it's all work in progress, and little by little, I think we're certainly getting used to it, and people are going to travel again.
Yeah. So, bad dating advice. If you have some juicy bad advice, we want to hear it. The phone number to call in is 888-627-6008. And Devin, would you like to pull another gem out of the out of your list?
I may get a little flack for this because I've actually told a story about this numerous times. It's about a dear buddy of mine who I actually spoke to yesterday. Great guy. He was at the bank, turn around, while he was in line, and the woman behind him, he thought, that's for me. She's the one. And they got married. They've been together for, you know, probably 16 years. They have two great kids. Their life is good. And they're deeply in love. And I think that's fantastic. And my bad advice is, you'll know it. You'll just know.
So did you know it with me?
No. I had no clue. I had no clue, no anything. And so the idea here is that there's a lot of people who are, without question, they knew. They got that flash. They got that insight. They got that burning bush about the other person. This is my person, and we're done. We're washed our hands, and now we're going to be together forevermore. And I think that's, I love that idea. And I think a lot of us have to work at it. I think we have to figure it out. I think we have to know ourselves. And it may be more of a process of learning about what's right for us to have a handle on that. Like, and I think it's also that own self-awareness thing of whether or not I'm capable of being in a very serious, committed relationship.
Well, in full disclosure, the times that I had that instant, that's my guy reaction to a guy, we would date for a period, and they usually turned out to be gay.
Well, that is not promising.
No. So the relationship did not last.
Right. No, I could see why, especially when the guy was looking really for another guy, but instead dating you.
Hadn't been honest with himself about it.
Right. Well, and that happens. And that kind of goes back to exactly what I was just talking about, is that I think you have to know yourself and kind of have a handle on yourself. You know, I think it's easy to come up with these ideas because, again, it goes back to the romantic comedy analogy, that we think this outrageous thing is just going to happen, or I have to do this outrageous thing, and that will kickstart this big, perfect, endless romantic comedy or happily ever after ending.
Well, let's, you know, there are some grand gestures that I think are kind of cool, like flash mobs. Flash mob marriage proposals, I think, are great. And there are plenty of them on YouTube. But I think it helps if the person you're proposing to is in on it and actually wants to marry you before you do the whole flash mob.
Right. Well, again, I think people fall in love with the grand gesture without actually understanding who is receiving the grand gesture. Right. Like, I'm sure there is some woman somewhere. It's like, I wish he would just jump out of my closet after he snuck in when I was at work. I'm sure there is somewhere. And they might genuinely love it. But I think that's a few, very few.
And in need of therapy.
And perhaps in need of therapy, right? And so you kind of have to know that if somebody wants the flash mob thing, or they want the Dodger Stadium Diamond Vision kiss thing, like there's just some people who are just not into that kind of thing.
Oh, I would hate the Dodger Stadium thing.
Right. And that is a thing. I think people have broken up over stuff like that. And I think, you know, guys have, you know, like paid the Dodgers $1 million so they could have a camera at the seventh inning stretch, poke, you know, while there's, you know, and the girl's saying no to his diamond ring, you know.
Oh, that's horrible.
I think you got to be on it. Like, I think you do have to take some risks, you know, to sort of like ask somebody
like
out.
Face
or make
a lion
yourself
in South Africa on your way to the internet station.
Right. But that was a conversation. That was a conversation. That wasn't, I mean, and it was something I had to do sort of like several days, and I had to kind of be aware of it. Like there was a point that I knew, but it wasn't like first sight. It wasn't like the first three dates. Do you know what I mean? It was just, it was going well and things were cool. And it's like, all right, where am I? Who am I? How did I get here?
Opening of a Talking Head song.
Right.
I knew that we were going to get married, I don't know, maybe a year into the relationship. I knew it, didn't worry about it, thought we had a few more years ahead of us before that was going to happen. So I was just cool and comfortable with it. And then you proposed earlier than I expected and totally freaked me out.
Right. No, you were freaked out a lot. Once I was, what you were all in.
But I'd already decided. So, right. You know, there you go.
Right. No, I want, you were all in. And you were really fine with me not being all in. And then when I became all in, like, okay, ready to move forward. You're like, yeah, no, this was like, I could hear your screams in the night. This whole dark night of the soul moment for you. I mean, it all worked out, but it was like, okay, we have to do this. You know, we have to go through the process for both people. And I think that's true of anybody. Okay, here we are. Walking through the valley of death, wrote the mighty 600.
Oh, advice. My mother told me, don't get married until you live with the guy for 4 years. And we didn't live together until we were married for a year.
No, that's true. That is true. I think your mom's coming from an era where all of a sudden, you know, the love hippie era kind of thing, where living together and marriage are the same thing.
No, I think it was because her first marriage was not a happy marriage. She's kind of like, test it out, get past the romantic part, so what it really is like to be with this person for a good long time before you get married. I think that was the idea.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think it's, I mean, based on her experience, is probably, you know, she's probably well-intentioned in that moment.
She also told me nobody would love me if I was fat.
Well, you know, not every bit of advice is great ideas.
No, I put that under the bad advice column,
too. Yeah, that's a bad advice kind of thing. So what else you got? You have any other bad advice winners? I have more.
Yeah, let's hear from yours. Yours helped me remember mine.
Okay. So, let's see. Oh, okay. You may not like this.
Tread carefully, my dear.
Well, no, I mean, this is just my guess.
Okay.
I'm guessing. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
Have lots of rules.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, in other words, like dating rules. Like I can only go out with you once a week, or like just about who this person is. If this person is a gardener, I'm not going to go out with them. Just if there's a bunch of rules, I think this kind of may be an extension or an extreme version of the settling argument.
Huh.
Like I think you want to keep as many avenues open as possible. And I'm not talking about settling. What I'm saying is that we have an idea of who our person is in our head, in our fantasy head, right? Especially if you haven't been married before. Or who would be the ideal fit for me? Well, the truth of the matter is, I don't know. I don't have that.
Well,
I don't have that answer in stone.
I think rules that are based on what you really know about yourself and what you really need are useful, but I think that there are also a lot of rules that we just pick up in books or somebody talking on TV or just, you know, out of left field that we adopt out of fear. Like, well, if I follow these rules, there was that book, The Rules. If I have the long hair and I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that, then I can control the situation.
Right. And that's sort of like taking action out of fear. So the lots of rules category is that, you know, again, you can have certain rules like, okay, I'm just not going to I'm not going to sleep with somebody until marriage, right? Because of a particular individual's religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. I think that's totally cool, right? I also think that if you just have a bunch of arbitrary rules that you've collected over time, you just build up a wall. You just make it that much more difficult for A, for somebody to find you, or for you to find somebody else. And then what ends up happening is you have a 45-minute experience with somebody, and really what you're doing is you're just measuring them against all of the rules to decide whether or not you could go with them, and you've turned yourself off.
Well, I think when I hear rules, I'm sort of like, good luck, with these arbitrary rules, because I'm thinking of our mutual friend, Rebecca, who had a rule that she wasn't going to date a guy of a certain nationality. But then she dated this one guy of that certain nationality,
and they were married. The rule.
Yeah,
right.
They married 2 months later, and they've been blissfully wed for like seven
for
years
while.
Now.
Yeah, for something like that. I was at that wedding.
Yes, as was
I. And they are a lovely couple.
Yeah.
Right, and there you go. And so
I might even have them on the show.
Well, I
think Rebecca would be fun.
Yeah, she would be fun. She is an entertaining delight who I love to pieces. But that said, that's part of the rules. In other words, I think part of finding a right mate is the fact-finding mission of the things within ourselves. And it's like, okay, that might have been fine 10 years ago for whatever reason, whatever rationale. But now it's like, okay, it's time to let go. Like, I think the joy of getting older is just saying, forget it, screw it. Let's just kind of go out and have a great time and not worry about it.
Well, especially first dates, everything got so much easier when I stopped putting pressure on the first date. And I just made a decision that how can you be rejected on a first date? The person's a total stranger. They don't know you. I don't know them. So it's just like, get together, hang out, and see if you like the person and want to see them again.
Yeah.
Low stakes.
Low stakes.
And I know we had this conversation in a past episode. Definitely, absolutely have a phone conversation. And if anything doesn't feel right, don't go further. You don't even have to know what doesn't feel right.
Well, I think that is definitely more of the, when you were talking about, well, is it different advice for men and for women? I think that probably would fall into the category of like, that's probably more of a woman thing. I think guys are definitely visual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think seeing somebody three dimensions in person, whether it's sort of like, a social distanced coffee or not, I think you just all of a sudden, now that person's there. You know, it's very different than a phone call for a guy. I think it's very different than to me, the goal always was like, okay, well, let's just meet you in person.
Well, now it's so weird because if you meet somebody in person, you don't see their face.
Well, yeah,
you can
no,
only see
whole,
that on the computer.
Right. That's there you go.
Crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't want that challenge. That's too much work.
Okay. Let's stay married.
But, right. But still, go out and have a great time and, go on dates and do what you can. I mean, it's what it is. We're just at where you're at.
Yeah. And in a way, it's easier. It's certainly easier for the guy because he doesn't have to pay for dinner. And it's just nobody has to put on clothing below the waist. And you can meet people without going through traffic or parking places and all that kind of nonsense.
Right. But I think so that the rules, the too many rules makes you elusive. So that goes back to one of the very first things.
It protects you from what you want.
Well, right. And so I think at some point, one of the things I was just considering, and I think we're closing in on sort of our end of our hour here. So,
yeah.
But really quickly, the thoughts of, I'm going to save this idea for next time.
Okay. And I'd like to end with a piece of good advice.
Is there good advice?
That I received from a friend who said that failure is the norm in romance. It's not a failure, it's not an outlier, but incompatibility is the default. That is the normal arc of relationship. The relationship that clicks and lasts, that is the exception. So go out on all those dates and know that it not working out is the norm, not the exception, and that is universally true. So it is not a personal failure. It's just relationships are supposed to fail until you find the one where both of you are the right match and willing to do what needs to be done to make it work. And that is the exception.
Yeah, no, I think that is the deal. And even then, there's no assurances to anything, because no. life gives you what life gives you. Yeah, I remember hearing a quote from, and I want to say it's Neil Gaiman, that may not be right, but it had to do with this idea of getting a life. You may not have a rich life, or you may not have a married life, or you may not have kids, but you get a life, and you get to go out and try and do the things that you can do.
So we will see you again next week, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Head over to crazysexymidlifelove.com and see a short 3-minute video of our first 11 weddings. It's funny. It's wild. And download Devin's book for free at Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Join our Crazy Sexy Midlife Love family, and we'll see you in a week.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.